This is the audio recording for the Candia Board of Selectmen meeting for January 27, 2025.
127.
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Russ.
Sue.
Boyd.
Brian.
Pat.
All right, approval of the January 13th minutes.
Make a motion to accept the minutes as presented for January 13th.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Russ.
Sue.
Brian.
Pat. Thank you. Okay, the next topic is the intersection at exit 3. I'd asked the chief, and he is here. Matt Woodrow has sent me an email, and I asked him to come in tonight. So if you want to start off, if you have a statement or something, Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything formal prepared, but, a couple weeks ago, I guess it was about 3 weeks ago now, our son got hit. Pretty good accident. He was coming from the CYAA, coming back to our house, Brown Road, and there was a car that was stopped at the stop sign. Whether they stopped or not, I'm not sure, but everybody knows the traffic getting on to go to the ramps at 101. Sometimes cars think they have a stop there. I think all of us have probably seen some people do that if they're from out of town. So it could have been somebody stopped and then waved this car on. That car was going towards Stubby's,
yeah.
So going through the stop sign. So Carter was coming this way with the right-of-way. This car tried to either gun it to poke through and beat him, or they just didn't see him, or whatever. It was pretty scary. Both of them teenagers, 17, both 17 years old. Car was totaled. The kids are okay. But it was scary. For us and for especially for for Carter, and I think it just kind of raised some concern. There were some posts online. Scott's obviously here tonight. He and I connected online through this. Really, just I think it's a concern about we don't want to see it take a fatality, right, for something to get done there or changed. And so I think. Our thing is just we want to advocate for something to get done. I'm not sure what that is. I know there's costs with some of the proposals, but, if there's something that can be done before, somebody loses a life. I mean, fortunately, he was okay, but it was pretty scary. The car got pushed off. Could have been a ditch there, but, the airbags deployed, the whole deal. But, I don't have anything formal, Brian, tonight, just to kind of say, what can be done? What are the options, right? I've seen several people just try to punch it through there. It's a really strange intersection. And again, what happens to your son, it's it kind of gives a renewed sense of, real close to home. But again, both of the kids were okay. It happened to be a former classmate of his, the one that hit him, which doesn't make it any easier. Two Candia kids, the mom showed up and she looked at me and I looked at her and we were like, wait a minute. It's like, so, these two kids grew up together. I coached her in sports, at the CYA through the years. And again, her car was like an accordion, the whole front end smashed in. Not sure if she even had airbags. But at the end of the day, they're okay. No injuries, aside some ringing in the ear from the airbags deploying. But so yeah, that's it, Bethany. I don't know if you wanted to add anything. It's just I'd hate we want to see something done so somebody doesn't lose a life there. It's scary.
Yeah, I think we're just asking that. I know it's been.
Can you say your name, please?
Oh, Bethany Woodrow, Brown Road. This has been something the town has talked about for. Since I was, I went to Jack's driving school here in Candia, years ago, and it's always been a problem, but it feels like it's maybe more of a problem now because people are so distracted driving. And, you know, I just didn't hear because it would be nice if something was done, even if it's flashers on a stop sign, you know, just some effort to curb some accidents. I don't think anybody wants a four-way stop there. I don't think anybody wants a light backing up traffic. But if we can do anything to prevent some accidents, you know, effort towards that would be much appreciated.
Can I say something, Brian?
Oh, it's something
else. Scott, you want to just say your name? And
Scott. Scott Canan, Flint Road, Gandia. So I made a sheet. I shared it with most of you guys.
Yep.
I'm not really going to read through the whole thing unless you want me to. But ultimately, we've suggested a flashing stop sign. It sounds like Gandia residents wanted that before when the state was here,
mm-hmm.
and the state chose not to implement.
Right.
They're stuck on the four-way stop sign. I have gone to other sites to look at four-way stop signs and to evaluate. I mentioned earlier to Brian and Boyd in Chester, they just did a four-way stop sign on 102 and 121. Really busy intersection. I don't know how it's backing traffic up. For us, if we did do it, at first, let me say, I hate four-way stop signs, and I don't want a traffic light. I want this town to stay 3,600 residents and never grow. But unfortunately, it's going to grow. We're going to end up with more people in town, and we really need to be prepared for change. At some point, we're going to have a traffic light there, and we're going to have a traffic light in front of the Irving. We all should accept that and know it's coming. Maybe sooner than later is better, but for now, my own perspective, not speaking for the town of Gandia, speaking for myself, I want a flashing, radar-activated, four-way stop sign as you head east. That's what I think I would like to see, and then see how effective it is. Keep in the back of our mind that change is coming, the town's growing, this is such a great town. Unfortunately, the word's out, and people are coming here. And we're going to have to do a traffic light at some point. So do we do it now, or do we do it later? Right? That's what people need to decide in town. So, you know, I put the notes in there and talked about what the state recommended. And the rotary and the four-way stop is what the state's saying, but when I talk to the state, they're like, we're not doing a rotary because there's no room, it costs too much money, it's not going to happen because they have to get the tractor trailers around. Anyway, that's about all I have to say, and if anyone wants my feedback or me to participate, I am willing and able. I don't want to be part of government office or involved with government.
Why not?
But I do love this town, and I will give my time to help this town stay a great place.
Thank you, Scott. Did you want to comment before the cop?
Yes, I think somebody made a mistake. They were saying that the selectmen didn't want to do anything or weren't interested in doing anything, and it was my understanding that we had urged them to do the stop sign with the flashing lights. So I don't know what happened there.
Unfortunately, on social media, you always have people that are spouting non-truths. Right?
Really?
And then
I'm shocked.
People's interpretation, even all of us sitting in the room when we walk out of here today, if we talk about what transpired and what happened, we're all going to have a different view of some of the conversation that took place. We all have to accept that, and we have to know that. But ultimately, decisions should be made by people showing up to an event like this. Mm-hmm. We should make it public notice. We should post it and say, here's what we're going to do. Then you change it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You agree?
Can we change it? I thought it was a DOT.
It's DOT. We can't physically do it.
Oh,
I want to the Chief to comment first, then I'll get to you guys.
How's everybody doing? I'll come up front because nobody has to turn around and look at me.
All right. So who responded to that accident for you guys? We were short-staffed that day. We were dealing with another pretty serious accident on Baker Road, believe it or not. And I had to have state police go over there. Did they show
up? Yeah, so Chad, we had two. There was a male officer and a female officer that day. I've got the accident, you know, report at home. I can get the names for
if
you.
So. If you could, that'd be great. I've been trying to find it and talk with state police.
Okay.
And,
So, I'll certainly let you know.
Since I've been on the department, I've noticed that intersection is a nightmare. I know that it is a state road. They're the ones that are ultimately going to put the stop signs, the traffic lights, right? You're dealing with hours and commute times, right? Having a four-way stop on a busy time is going to back that road all the way up to the Irving and cause issue, right? I think the other thing is that I think when we all go through driver's ed, we forget right-of-ways and things like that too, right? I used to teach it. So I had to like relearn it when I was going through being instructor for it. Big problem, I think, is how the traffic can just flow one way and then the stops are all on the other side. Mm-hmm. I've sat there a little bit and done some directed patrol myself. I've watched cars come right off the highway, barrel right across the old Manchester, keep going. Obviously, I addressed that, right? That's why we're in that area so much, too, because it drops down to a 35. And I know it's straightaway. And here's one thing that I've learned in my time with driver's ed, things like that. Overseas, right, how do they make their roads? They make their roads roundabout, mm-hmm. tight, skinny, different illusions. Out here in the United States, we make them straight and go, yeah, go 70 miles an hour on. Mm-hmm. That's the problem, right? So I don't know if there's another suggestion. Maybe we can slow it down a little little bit more to like 30 in that area. Might help. Definitely the stopping, the flashing stop signs would at least get someone to look up and see something. Because the other thing that I noticed is the traffic signs. You have a stop sign on one side and then that square rectangular sign on the other side. So it's not visual for you. But I did bring some stats so you guys could, the best I could do with pulling them through our system. Mm-hmm. And this year alone in that intersection, we've dealt with 10 accidents. Now, again, I can't tell you if there were, I don't think any of them have been fatal. None of them have been fatal since I've been here. Chief Young, I don't know if you can talk to that. I can show you guys this. I highlighted it.
Is that this, not just 2025?
Past. That 2024. Yeah, not, for 2023, we had three in that area. That could range from a fender bender to something serious,
you said,
right?
10 last year?
10 last year. 2022, looks like it was two. So that's like 3 years. I went back 3 years to kind of give that. In that area, last year, we dealt with 377 calls. So one was a driving while intoxicated. Eight of those were accidents with no PI, which means no injury. Three, accident with injury. Accident unknown injury, there were four of those. Accident hit and run were two of those. The department did 331 stops there.
Right at that intersection area?
Yeah, right at the Columbia Road. So, you know, that could be anywhere in that range, right? Because when we call out an area, that's where we're at.
Yeah.
So I can tell you as the police chief, it's definitely a concern of mine. I haven't had the chance to talk to the state. Seems like you guys have. But I'm happy here to help and get us wherever we need to be to make it a little bit more safe. In the meantime, I can put directed patrols and more officers in that area as we build up the department.
We saw somebody there tonight, actually, we're coming to the meeting.
Yep. Yeah.
If you want to just hold on. Bill? Yeah, go ahead.
So I got Bill Saffy, Patton Hill Road. I have 25 years on at Mass DOT, and we've installed those grooves in the road, and they're very effective. Mm-hmm. They could also put stop ahead signs up, state could. They could also put the thermoplastic stop written in the road. Mm-hmm. And I just asked the electrician, I'm retired now, but he said it costs $2,000 to put that sign up.
The flasher one?
Yeah, it sounds, that runs off of solar.
Yeah.
Activates when you approach it.
Correct.
I'll pay for half of it.
I was going to say, can we try that first? Yeah.
I don't think you should have to pay for any of it.
I'm not joking, I'll pay for half of it. If people are going to complain about their taxes going up over something like that, and the town should be able to pay the other.
I'll cover the other half. No, seriously.
Crowdfunding.
Is that it, Bill?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, Judy?
Pay for it.
Name?
Read that, I'm sorry, Judith Slot, Living Road. I traveled that intersection for 30 years when I was working, and when they were talking about putting a stop sign, stopping the traffic that was turning, all I could think of was at 7 o'clock in the morning, that traffic would be back to the school, because it's like, it's a constant stream of traffic in the morning. And it just defied logic to me when the person who wrote that article suggested that we have people who are running the eastbound stop sign, so we'll put a stop sign on the westbound side because that will stop the person on the eastbound traffic, and that's going to make that person stop. I don't go out that much anymore, but last summer when I was with my granddaughter, 6 times in 2 weeks, we were at that intersection and had someone blow that stop sign. One time I started out and just something caught my eye, and there was a huge tractor trailer. He had to be going 50 miles an hour, and all I could think of is we'd have been killed if I hadn't stopped.
Right.
They go so fast coming from Auburn. They're going so fast, and I think that this that flashing sign, something, because it's going to catch your it'll catch your eye when it's coming, when you're coming up to it. But I've had the same when getting off the highway, and you know, you see someone coming, but you know there's a stop sign, so you start out, and then all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, he's not stopping, and they'll blow through the intersection. So there has to be, we have to do something to alert the drivers, and it's hard because people are distracted.
Dean?
Go ahead, Dean. Dean Young, two things. If, in fact, we will pay, and you probably talked, I don't know if you know about the state, if we choose to pay for a flashing sign, it's the state intersection. Will they allow us to do that?
Yes.
They will. Okay.
You're sure of that?
You know, they're in charge.
That's the way the conversation went.
Yeah.
They just said they wouldn't pay for it.
They would install it, but we have to pay for it.
Oh.
So they would.
But they wanted us to maintain it too, though, was the conversation. Because I had conversation with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if we pay for it, they want us to maintain it. That's where it gets to be
sticky.
A little messy.
Exactly.
And ultimately, the state should pay for it.
Right.
It's very small expense. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, that's good. I just was curious if we could, if we had the right to put it there, but they want us to maintain
it. I think so, dude. We never got that far in the conversation to find out because they weren't that receptive about putting the flashing stops on that.
I asked for two signs, two flashing signs.
Both of those, both sides.
One on the right, one on the left.
I agree.
Is what I had asked for. I love the rumble strip idea in both directions because I'm looking at the chief saying this now. I'm guilty of it. I speed down the road.
I've admitted worse. Don't worry about it.
You're worse?
It's terrible because we all do it, but those rumble strips make us all slow down.
Yeah.
And really, we should do them.
If nothing else, it wakes you up at least that you're coming to something. Gentlemen?
Yeah. Ron Lavador, North Road. I think it's important that any signs that go up, the eastbound side of that intersection, going east, I think it's important to also have that flashing sign say, oncoming traffic does not stop. I've seen that sign at a couple locations somewhere, and it's effective. Oh, well, for me it was effective. You know, if I see a sign saying oncoming traffic doesn't stop, I'm going to stop.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that we get that and it be lit up at night. Oncoming traffic does not stop. That's the most important part for eastbound traffic.
Right.
Because I don't think there's out of towners that don't know that. The infrequent people don't know that. And I think they also cop an attitude, I've waited long enough, I'm going. All right, because of the people getting on the highway, it's that stream in the morning. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit of attitude too. I've waited long enough and they probably just go. They force themselves in. At least I've seen that myself. And I went, yeah, impatient, huh?
Personally, I think I've witnessed the return traffic at night worse because they're all getting off the highway and they come to those various intersections, and that's when it's really dangerous. At least in the morning, most everybody is just getting on the highway. So that flows sort of good.
So with that comment, that means the end of the exit, right? That needs a sign saying oncoming crossing traffic does not stop, right? And then eastbound needs oncoming traffic does not stop.
Yeah. And so all two of these directions are why the state wanted a full
oncoming traffic does not stop.
Yeah, I definitely don't agree with a four-way stop. I don't think that's
Yeah, that would pack them up in the morning.
If there's nobody else, I want to go back to Matt first.
Yeah, just, I guess the last point, and Judith made this point as well, like, there's been an influx of tractor trailers because, you know, we didn't have that 24/7 truck stop in years past, right? Mm-hmm. So with that now, I think everyone's probably seen the increase of tractor trailers coming on and off just to go to the first stop there. Mm-hmm. And what that's done is, I've seen them come in and come out. A lot of times they have no idea whether they should stop. So the other day, a big tractor trailer came right up, kind of jammed his brakes on. He ended up halfway into the turn and stopped.
Right.
And then everyone's like at a standstill, but there's a line of cars behind then that had to slam their brakes on. So I think we're dealing with now the influx of additional tractor trailers that we didn't have in prior years. And it just kind of, you know... Exactly, and when those things get going, coming off or on, you know, but we didn't have that 24/7 truck stop in years past, so, you know, we have that now.
Dean, you had another comment?
Just one more thing, yeah, I mean, I love the idea of the flashing signs, but I've been through a lot of accidents, and that, some flashing signs will help, but there are people out there that are going to go through stop signs just like they go through the red light here all the time. There's still going to be accidents there. You just got to be very defensive. Those of us who know the intersection got to be very defensive. There still will be accidents. Hopefully we can cut down a few with maybe that for the people who aren't familiar with it. But I'll be honest with you, a lot of the accidents that I go to around here are people that know the area. Mm-hmm. Over at the Catholic Church, people go coming from Manchester to go to Deerfield, drive that road every day, and they'll pull right in front of somebody coming from Raymond. Mm-hmm. It's like they ride it every day. So people say, what's wrong with the intersection? There's nothing wrong with it. They just, people just do some really, and I think they're in a hurry. Mm-hmm. They're distracted. Right. You know, they're going way too fast, which hopefully the chief is going to help on that case. But I think the flashing signs would help a lot down there, but it's not going to end it.
No, you can't prevent stupid.
I thought the rumble strip would have signs.
Yeah.
Name again, please.
Yeah, Ron Lavador, North Road, Candia. So the other thing I proposed to the DOT was also putting a sign on the westbound side saying, do not stop.
It's so hard.
Okay. Because I can't count how many people I've encountered at that intersection.
Oh, yeah.
Who, they're obviously, you know, you look at the license plate, nope, they're not local. Okay. And they're stopping. It's amazing how many people stop when they get the right of way, but they don't know that.
Right.
They come up to a four-way intersection and go, where's the stop sign? Yeah. And they stop. So people also need to be informed, don't stop.
Just like they have at the toll booth in the high speed lane.
Mm. Yes.
Do not stop.
Right. Yeah.
Bill?
So the rumble strips, the signs, and the thermoplastic stop on the road would cost the state basically nothing, because the guys that work for the state will do that. They don't need a contractor to do it.
Right.
And if you put up a flashing sign, the negative of that is, in my 25 years of experience, that drunks usually aim for the bright sign.
Well, at least
well.
They love the sign.
Gives them,
I mean,
really?
Gives them a target.
We found, I mean, I can have hundreds of fatalities and thousands of accidents. It's just, we've always found that. And being New Hampshire, if you don't have insurance, guess who has to pay for it again?
Yeah. I noticed one other thing at that intersection, Chief, too, and I don't know if they can do it, but that sign, if you're headed east, the one on the right, it sets back quite a ways. It's not in a normal position off the side of the road.
Correct.
Like most stop signs. So unless your peripheral is looking there,
yeah.
That's why I think the flashing would help.
Because
it would redirect their eye to something that's flashing.
Yeah.
But I did notice that that is offset quite a bit.
Because of the curve turn.
Correct.
The turn.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So stop, saying stop on the pavement, everything could be a little help.
Exactly.
All could together.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about the flashing sign and people volunteering to pay for it, the question that I have is, if we put it up, are we liable if it isn't flashing and there is an accident? I mean, these are things that we'd have to check into at that point.
Yes. I would not want to be involved with paying for it ourselves.
No, but I think the state,
you own it then.
You, exactly.
State, right.
You're going to own all kinds of responsibilities.
We don't ask for a lot in this town.
No.
Well,
and
we really
didn't
don't.
Create the mess
yes,
in the first
exactly.
place. Exactly.
Yeah, it's their engineers.
Right.
No. Were you talking rumble strips or ground in the...
Ground the line.
The ground line.
Right. Because you have that vroom type noise when you drive over.
Well, that would stop the trucks, wouldn't it? Slow the trucks down.
Just on the eastbound lane. Just on the eastbound lane.
An approach.
And you can do them for like... 50 feet, 10 feet or so, so it catches you.
We can, you have two sets of them.
Yeah.
Back. But when you said rumble, state wouldn't want it for plowing.
No. These are just cuts.
Rumble.
These
right,
are just cuts in the asphalt.
Right. Right.
Scott?
If we're going to ask for those rumble strips, we should do it in every direction.
Yeah.
Like,
see,
literally,
I agree with
it should
that.
Be getting off the highway,
yeah.
It should be getting on
that's
the highway,
right.
To
I agree
slow
with
down,
that.
And it should be going eastbound.
You're right.
All of them.
I agree with that.
That will at least gain people's attention.
Yeah.
And sorry, in the three directions. I don't think you need it coming from east.
No.
No. Yeah. I don't think you need it there because the road curves around, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, and the state doesn't own that one.
Right.
So the state owns the other one. So if we can do that, like, I think that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. The flashing sign, and then
I like that too.
Like I said, if it doesn't work. The town's growing, we're going to have to ask for a traffic light. That's still not going to make the accidents go away, but with the rumble strips, traffic light, everything, I mean, as the town grows, that's
and
probably all we're going to get.
And it's Deerfield, too. We have a lot of Deerfield traffic.
Deerfield, Stratford.
Yeah, they all come
the
through
whole,
here on
right.
43, yeah.
Northwood.
Is there any other comments out there that you haven't spoken? No. Different.
Just curious on what the next steps would be. Go back to the.
That's what
state.
I was going to say. What's
yeah.
next?
Yeah. So go to the state, see if we
yeah.
get the signs, and then
yeah.
investigate if we were to buy them. It would be liable if they didn't work.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
I'm not
I wouldn't
crazy
even
about
offer that up.
No.
I think if we're going to have another meeting with the state, we should have our state rep here with us.
I agree.
Kevin.
To represent.
ASAP.
Oh, Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Did Stevens get in, Dean, the executive council?
Yes, I believe he did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he replaced Gatzes, right?
That's another candy guy.
I think I talked to the state, like our local rep. He's from Deerfield.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who I talked to. And Kevin was very adamant that, oh, yeah, we want the stop sign. He wanted the stop sign,
yeah.
too.
The illuminated
yeah.
ones, yeah?
No.
No, it's a four-way
stop.
Oh, four-way?
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Four-way.
Well, we won't ask for his opinion.
Well, I asked him, I said... I keep saying the same thing.
If he represents the town, we give him what we want, and
exactly.
he represents that.
And that's what I said. I don't represent Candy. I represent me and my own opinion. And if you represent our area, you need to talk to the residents of Candy. So he posted, when he made that post to the Facebook thing, that was an hour after I had the conversation with him, because he was very adamant with me that they were going to do the four-way. And he got blasted on there.
Did he?
So, and then he just went silent.
Yeah.
Like
he never contacted us, Scott.
He hasn't responded to me again.
Yeah.
Like, I tried to talk to him again after, and nothing.
He probably wanted to just ghost everybody.
Yeah. Well, it's hard when everyone's against you.
Yeah. I mean, Judy?
He is the one that said that he had been to the state, and the state said that they would put the stop sign up for the four-way, and made it very clear that the selectmen didn't really know what they were doing because they kept refusing it. And my purpose here tonight was to say, at least we have some smart people in this town, because that to me is just the dumbest thing. If there's no logic in putting a stop sign on the east side if it's the west side that's causing the problem.
Right.
That's not gonna. And he just kept insisting that that's what the state said. And they've been the state has been to the before this board a couple of times, and they've explained that, and the board wouldn't go along with it. So
the four way. I don't think we
no. I wouldn't want that.
We wanted the flashing lights.
I think it's
Brock.
Bill, go ahead.
You can ask New Hampshire DOT to do a traffic study, and they could put cameras up. They should have the cameras that are mounted on arrow boards that actually keep a constant film of what's going on, and they can do a traffic study to see.
They have one?
I think they did it before they did this presentation.
They did?
Okay. I'm pretty sure it talks about it in here, but right. I could be wrong.
Yes. And the biggest comment was that there were no fatalities there, and that's why it wasn't high on the list.
Yeah. Wow.
So, and that's the same thing you used to say about Fort Conning.
Did you speak to the Chester chief about the four-way?
No, he hasn't gotten back to me yet.
I tried to call him, too.
So, what's the board's pleasure? I'd like to get the state guy back in here and, like, Susan said, get the rep here and stuff. And
can we do an oversized stop sign as like an immediate something on that on the back side of that so that it's more visible in both directions?
They make multiple sizes.
They do.
Oh, I've seen them in Bedford, Goffstown area.
Oh, that's good.
They're huge. They're like a 3-foot stop sign. It's huge.
Yep.
Do the prisoners make them?
Probably.
No, I think they do. I'm not being funny.
I don't know if they do anymore or not.
No, the prisoners.
That I was thinking about is we just got our speed sign back, the one that was shot on the road. I haven't had the chance to use it or look at it, but maybe even the interim is getting that up.
Yeah,
to where
that,
someone sees it.
That's not a bad idea for an interim anyway.
Speed just for a little bit. We can
because we had it on the other side for a while.
Yeah.
What about putting it right in the median?
I mean, I can look at it. Like I said, I haven't even pulled out the box yet, so.
All right, so I guess I'd like to get...
The other thing that I'd like to look into is the highway traffic safety.
Yeah.
When we do those DWE grants and those speed grants and things like that, the state, I know like with the speed signs, you know, the big trailers, they'll pay up to so much of that also. So I don't know if that counts with all traffic, but like radar units in the cars, those type of things, the grant helps with that when we do that.
Okay.
So I need to look into that to see if a stop sign would be something we could do, or a flashing stop sign or something along that line.
Okay.
But I just got to look into it.
Great. But I like Sue's suggestion here. Let's get the rep in here.
That's right. That should be the next step.
And get Stevens in here. I think Stevens did get on the executive council. So
he did.
I think
said,
so.
Dean
yeah.
Jordan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And get them in here and have that conversation with the chief and us. And if we decide that that's what we want, we can just push for
those things.
The rumble strip and the illuminated sign, I think, is at least the start.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're not going to fix stupid, but...
one of the things they made clear to me when I was talking to them, the guy up in Concord, right, DOT, was... they have these rules and regulations about the signs, how big they can be, where they can be placed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we're going to encounter that when we say we want flashing signs on both sides, especially in the median side. That's going to be an issue for us. They're going to push back on that, just to let you know in advance.
That's good. We'll do that again.
Because there are standards that they use for clearance and all that stuff.
Well, apparently the standards aren't working too well
right
now.
Yeah.
Good.
Getting something done.
Exactly.
We need to get something done.
A Well, that's how we left it when we had the representative here last, a year ago.
I thought they were doing flashing.
We were saying there's a minimum, let's do something, and
I mean, they had
fell on deaf ears.
They had mentioned turning Old Manchester into a one-way road.
Oh, yeah, they had all kinds of expensive solutions that weren't going to solve anything.
We asked them to take that square sign off the backside of the rectangular stop sign when you're going east, so people going west can see, oh, there is a stop sign.
Okay. You know, I mean, if they think about it, it's an octagon.
People know that,
you know?
from driver's ed at stop, you know. Just little things, sometimes some little things in conjunction. But.
Good. All right. We'll work on getting something set up then. We can have another meet and greet.
Thanks.
Any other comments on that? No? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All of you. All right, the memorial for Reggie Henshaw. I didn't put this on here. Linda did because there was some discussion about a write-up, but Boyd did say he did write something up. I didn't feel comfortable enough doing anything because I didn't know Reggie as well.
Oh, and this is it?
This is what Boyd wrote up.
I like it, Boyd.
Oh, thanks.
So if nobody has any, what you guys?
I was going to ask Dean. Did you know Reggie?
Of course.
Oh, he's doing very well.
He served in the British Army in World War II. He was among the troops that liberated a concentration camp, 6,000 starving prisoners.
Oh, yeah.
And they cut him loose on April 15th. Do you believe that?
Yeah, The man had wonderful stories.
Yes.
Is it possible to read what was written?
Yes.
Oh.
So Reggie was like, I lived right down the street.
That's right, you did, yeah.
I was there like every week. He was my adopted grandfather after my grandfather died. And like literally, I've been trying to call his wife and I haven't talked to her at all.
From what I understand, she went back up north.
Yeah.
She got a place
just, like,
up there.
Disappeared.
Yeah.
I was there the week before he died. So... Yeah.
Did you like to read it for the?
Okay.
I'm assuming you read it.
Me?
I can read it if you want. I just thought maybe you wrote it.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
This has got the picture of Reggie on it, and that's how it'll appear in the town report. Beekeeper, gardener, and a member of the Rockingham Masonic Lodge number 76 for nearly 75 years. Reggie Henshaw was awarded custodian of the Boston cane. If nobody's familiar with it, that's a cane that we pass out to the oldest resident in town. Recognized him as the oldest resident in town. Reggie, who died this year at the age of 101, represented the spirit of the greatest generation for which our nation is grateful. Born in the United Kingdom in 1923 and one of four brothers, Reggie served in the 11th Army Division of the British Army during World War II. On April 15, 1945, Reggie was among the British soldiers who liberated 6,000 starving prisoners from a Nazi Germany, notorious Belsen-Bergen concentration camp. Reggie's selfless military service and the example by which he lived his life is a reminder of our debt to those men and women who fought for our freedom and are now known as the greatest generation. Kind of chokes me up a little bit. Reggie is survived by his children, Melissa and Timothy, his Masonic Lodge brothers, and countless friends. Good job, Boyd.
Is it Bergen Belsen? Is it Bergen?
No, it's Belsen-Bergen.
Is it Bergen Belsen?
I looked it up. That's the right way of presenting it.
Probably flows better the other way.
Yeah. Should you be mentioning his wife?
No.
He's separated.
No.
He separated. Okay.
No, they weren't.
They weren't married.
The second one.
They weren't married.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or he wasn't married to Norma.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
With her a long time.
Yes, he was. So is there any comments by the board?
No,
thank
very
you, Boyd,
good
for
Boyd.
Doing
that's
that.
Very nice.
Nice homework.
Who's the other person? Donna?
Who?
Who's
Donna
the other?
Becker.
Is she the other person? We were doing two, right?
I thought we did two.
Yeah.
Who's the other person?
Yeah.
Did somebody write up Donna?
I think Andrea did.
Okay.
All right, so that's good. Everybody's good
yeah.
with that?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
I like
All right.
it.
All right, Lynn?
Got it.
Good. Thank you. All right. Open job positions. We're going to be discussing some of that later on in a non-public. Just so the public knows, Andrea Hansen, our town administrator, did resign and left last Thursday. So in the interim, she is coming in for a few hours at the end of the week and working with Amy from the land use just to get us through town report and the deliberate session. So none of that would be disturbed. And also Kim Hughes from upstairs, our finance coordinator, she has also resigned. February 5th is her last day due to personal illness. So it's a little bit of a shakeup internally here, but we'll
yeah,
get through
Andrea
it.
Went to work for another town.
Another
yeah.
town. Went yeah. to work for Brentwood.
Yeah.
So. Now, the other conversation I wanted to have a little bit of, at least start the conversation with, on the Hampshire retirement, because that was one of the issues that Andrea did bring up. Brentwood does have that, and I never realized, but it's pretty attractive, I guess, for an employee to be in there if you're not in fire departments or you're not in the police departments, which have their own retirement. This covers any full-time employee, municipal. It does not cover any elected or volunteers or stuff or part-timers, but it does help out with the full-timers.
So the fire department can get it now since they're employees?
No, they're not really
employees.
They have
to be full-time.
They're not full-time.
Okay.
They're compensated, but they're not full-time. So it typically would be maybe four people?
Yeah.
Five people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, I forgot to mention, was also for Kim, Melissa is doing a lot of the work, but she is not interested in doing a full-time job.
I didn't think
she likes be. She likes helping out part-time, but that's all she wants. And we do have some resumes, so if you get a chance, the book is in there.
Yeah.
Any questions?
So it's open.
So we are going to be looking this year. It was too late to try to do anything in the 25 budget, but
right.
For the retirement, you mean?
Correct.
Right.
But
yeah.
I'd like to work on that this year and see if we come up with something that would help out retaining our employees.
It's so hard because it's hard to compete with some of these other towns.
I know.
Oh, it is.
So.
Yeah. You know, it just.
Because they're all out there. I mean, it's just like the PD. They're all out there and they're all grabbing that small group, you know, and offering up everything. The town deliberate session will be held this Saturday, February 1st, 9 o'clock, Moore School. The snow date is Tuesday, February 4th, 9 o'clock at the school. And the next select board meeting is scheduled for February 10th. Is there anything else at the public?
It says the Smith Memorial.
Oh, yeah.
Is there an open?
What is that?
Betty Sabian.
To be reappointed.
I didn't get that.
It's not on you. It's just a.
It's, a little, it's this, and then there's her paperwork for the signature. You sure it wasn't in there?
I would like to be reappointed to the Smith Memorial Building Board of Trustees. Thank you for your attention on this matter.
I'll make
Betty.
A motion.
Second.
Betty Sabian.
So a motion and a second.
Seconding. Any questions?
Nope.
Seeing none, all in favor?
Russ.
So, Brian.
Brian? Okay. All right, was there anything else the public had? Or members of the board?
Abatements. How are we going to handle that? It appears that there might be quite a few. Do we do it during a regular meeting? Do we have an abatement days or nights or?
I think all of them get resolved in the office suit unless there's a dispute between the two parties, and then we may have to get involved. But typically, they would handle that.
So they'll fill out the form.
They come in for the form, they fill out the form, and then they'll sit with Steve and whoever else, and they will go through the abatement process.
And then Steve makes a recommendation to the board.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
But for those listening or on Zoom, they are online on the website, the abatement forms, if you're interested.
And March 1st is the
March
deadline.
March 1st is the deadline, yes.
So I would encourage anybody out there that thinks they were overtaxed to please apply. If you don't, we can't help you. Do you have anything else on that, Sue?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Does anybody else get any?
I just had a question on something that was brought up last week about the assessment.
Yep.
Has that been looked into or?
The ones, the properties that were overassessed, that's all part of the process. And I think from what I was told last week, that most of them have been resolved or dealt with through the tax office.
Okay, so we're not, there's no.
How does that affect
there's
the tax?
There's no back charge to other taxpayers.
Okay.
No. Because any money that has to be adjusted, it comes out of another fund. So it doesn't go, we don't go back and send tax bills out to the public to come up with more money because we're short.
What fund does it come out of?
The overlay.
Yeah, the overlay fund.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's all handled, again, right internally here. So that was the question, whether, you know, people were going to get another tax bill because we were short or whatever. No, you don't. It's not their fault. Yeah, there is a fund designed to take care of
those. And then did you find out who used to do it before this company?
I did not ask that question, Sue.
Oh, okay. I think Andrea knows who used to do it. Yeah. Was it not the state?
Tammy did it, but I don't know who
she. Somebody else had did it before that. They had a company.
Yeah.
To do what, Sue?
That did our revals.
Oh.
When Tammy was our.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed.
All right.
The only other thing was.
Oh, the door?
Some new quotes on a door that bring the price down considerably. With some different options. One of them is almost all glass, which probably wouldn't be a bad thing because then we're not going into a blind door with people standing behind it. Another would be...
I like that one.
Yeah, and that's actually the most affordable option as well.
Oh, wow.
Which is almost half of what our original quote was, right? So, did some additional research. Thank you to Linda for taking that on and getting us some better prices. So,
good.
We just have some different options to look at and figure out as a board what we want to go with.
Did you do one? I like one. What number did you like?
Number one.
Number one, yeah. Me too.
They matched the window.
Yeah. Well, it's the one
with the... I was a little leery with the one that was full glass
with
there.
The
I don't think that's...
Yeah, with the entrance that we have, I don't think that would be a bad thing. I don't see it as a problem, but I do like this better.
Yeah, you almost get the same effect almost.
Yeah.
I like door one, too.
Yeah.
Unless you're less than 3 feet tall, we'll be able to see it.
Right.
I think it's ADA compliant, too.
Yes, for the width of it.
No, it has, like, the automatic.
Oh, really?
Doesn't it have the automatic door?
Oh, fancy.
Oh, you need the...
Yeah, automatic door opener, if you look on the bottom.
Oh, that's included?
Yep.
Oh.
I'll double check.
Wow.
Okay.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
Great.
All right. Does the board get anything else?
No.
If not, make a motion because we are going to go into a non-public.
I'll second it. Thank you for coming in, everybody.
You made the motion, Russ?
I'll make the motion.
Okay,
I'll second that.
All right.
We're going to make it a quick one, but I'll keep my mouth shut.